welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Ed Rudell, and Gary Baker ready to answer your questions. Yeah, we're not teens, but that's okay. We've got a lot of experience here of answering people's questions. 800-859-0957 is our phone number. That's 800-859-0957. We're going to kick off the conversation with an old friend, Paul Sr. from Houston, Texas, in just a minute, talking about a nasty little scam that's out there. Welcome. It's hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and I'm glad to see that you folks are taking the advice, and I've been calling in. Frank, Janice, and Jim will be getting to you as we motor into our second hour of the program, and we also have an old friend joining us from Houston, Texas. That's none other than Paul Sr. Paul, welcome to the show. Good to have you on with us.
Oh, it's good to be on with you. It's been a long time.
It has been. Harbor Beach used to be the connection we made with you, but you've decided another shoreline is the one that you wanted to take a look at.
Yeah, I didn't sweat enough up there, so we're down here. It's in the upper 90s.
You're talking about the humidity.
Oh, that humidity's past that.
Oh, I bet it is. Houston, Texas. Hey, oh.
Well, Paul, this is Gary, and I'm glad I'm not the only one migrating south.
It beats shoveling snow, Gary.
It sure does. I'm with you there, Paul.
No, I'd rather shovel snow than live with humidity. This is Ed, so.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'm just.
Yeah. We're two for two here because I agree with you, Ed. I think the same thing. Hey, Paul, the reason we asked you to be on, because after our show last week, there was a dear lady who had been just scammed out of heaven knows how much money. And you emailed us about a story that of an experience that you had with a Roku TV, a new smart TV you had. Tell us, if you could, kind of quickly, what that experience was.
I'll tell you, these guys are good. Okay, I bought a TV that had Roku in it, and you have to call and get it activated.
Right.
So I did a quick Google search on the company that makes the TV. There was like, you know, half a dozen, how many thousands. So I pick one. I call the number. I get an authorization code. I punch it into the TV. It doesn't work.
Mm.
They say, if it doesn't work, call this number. So I call this other number. And the guy gets on the phone and he answers it. This is, you know, so-and-so from such and such a company. And I says, well, I'm trying to activate the TV for the Roku. He says, well, we have three levels of activation. And it goes from $99 to $199.
Good grief.
Now I spent $150 for the TV. You know, Best Buy's going to get a TV back if this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my Lord. But it's interesting because we wondered how you had gotten that number. You did it with a Google search.
Yep, and I got them on the screen. And I checked, of course, being a guy, you don't look at the instruction booklet, right?
Well, that's the last thing we do.
Yes, exactly. In case everything else fails, read the instructions. I know.
The instruction booklet has a different phone number.
Uh-huh. So what happened when you
call that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I call them up, and I say, listen, this, and I says, fine, no problem, punch this in. I says, look, you do it, okay? So I gave them the information. They punch it in. The TV's on. Everything works. I says, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You got somebody out there that's a fraud. Mm. They were going to charge me to activate the TV. And they says, no, there's never a charge.
How did they?
Basically what's happened is what's happening a lot of times. And one of the things that's happening with Google is they're being sued by the European Union for putting paid ads before true ads,
right, exactly,
if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
And that seems to be what's happened is someone's paid ad space to Google to advertise that when someone types in Roku a subscription for the TV or, you know, Sony or Samsung or whatever, and if they use those keywords, their ad's going to show up first. It may not be legitimate, but it's their ad, and their search comes up first before a legitimate one.
Yeah.
If I can tell you one more thing that happened to me, is that I was dialing an 800 number for some company, and I dialed 1-800, you know, and they answer the phone with the company's name and says, well, you've been selected, you know, to win this gift certificate, you know, and they're going to need some information and stuff.
Oh, dear.
I said, wait a minute. This stinks. Then I looked, the number that I called was 1-800. The number I should have called was 1-866.
Yep. There are so many. From the old days, you and I remember that 1-800 was the toll-free numbers. Now it could be 1-877, 866,
yep.
or whatever.
888, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, Paul, I just maybe find a question for you because we've got about 60 seconds here. What was the response when you got the guy who on Google and you said, no way, what did they try to do?
I said, well, let me call you back, okay? So then they give you yet another number.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the whole thing stinks. I said, I ain't paying for this. He says, well, then I'm not going to activate your TV. Well, I'll tell you what, dude.
Yeah, you can't in the first place.
Best Buy's going to get it. Best Buy's going to get a TV back.
Yeah. Well, and as you know, you got a reputable company there with Best Buy that sold you a good TV.
Yep.
And as you said, that the real solution to the problem is stick with the manual in there. You'll have the proper numbers. If you go Googling for it, you're liable to get stung. Paul, thanks so much for being with us. I wanted to have you on just to reinforce the need to be careful about how you get your information. And if it sounds quinky, it probably is hinky. Paul, thanks so much for being there.
Boys, they're really, really good out there.
They are, but fortunately, you're smarter than.
You know what? It's almost getting to the point where I wish I had my Yellow Pages back.
Yeah.
You know, that way I can look up legitimate companies and go in there.
Paul, thanks so much for being with us.
You're more than welcome.
Exercise your sweat glands.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's a whole lot different than it was up in Harbor Beach.
Well, you know, I use Google, but I also use Bing.
Yes, I know that, and that is an interesting. Let's talk about that, using both of those search engines. Come back in just a minute. Janice and Gross Eel will be with you, and the number is 800-859-0957. Thank you for joining us for this hour number two. It's all yours. Your questions are what we are going to wrap this hour around at 800-859-0957. Gary, I thought you had some thoughts to share about that last caller.
Well, actually, it was really more around Ed's comment about, I just wish I had my Yellow Pages back. I said, YP.com. And, you know, there is some validity to that because it's a third-party source that says, you know what, we vetted these businesses.
Yes.
We know these businesses are legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's free. You can go to YP.com.
Yep, that's excellent.
And there's other validation sources as well, but that's a good one.
And one of the other ones that too, and I know you like to use this, Ed, is to go to Bing and use Bing.
Yep, I prefer, you know, Shane sort of got me on the kick because, you know, how Google monitors every email you send, every document you upload to your G Drive, they're all scanned, and then ads are then tailored to it, and you receive emails to, you know, things that you've just uploaded to your Google Drive or whatever. And so he turned me on to it. I still like the Google search engine, but I use Bing more and more.
Yeah, matter of fact, I was doing that as well. And I like the fact that I get different results.
Yes, they're not
the same. They're different results. All right, let's go to Janice in Gross Eel. Janice, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you today?
I have an all-in-one that has an HP. I run Windows 10. And I went to print something today. I have an Epson 310 printer, and it wouldn't print. And then it says, I lost my driver. I mean, how did I lose my driver? I don't know where it went.
It's like driving Miss Daisy, huh?
So is your printer connected wirelessly? So did you originally install the software for your Epson 310, and then it discovered it wirelessly and set it up?
Yes.
Okay. That might be the process you have to go through again. That's what I would recommend. I don't know how it forgot about it, but that would be the simplest solution. You could even probably remove the printer beforehand just in case by going into printers and devices and removing that.
Going to printer and devices and
find your existing printer and then just, you know, right mouse click or highlight it, and at the top of the screen in the printer and devices, you have the ability to select remove device.
Okay, and then remove it.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Or you're going to say remove it, and then
afterwards, reinstall it using the software provided by the manufacturer.
Okay.
Either the CD, DVD, or you can always go to the website and download new software, because more than likely the manufacturer has updated
its software.
Mm-hmm. So you can go to Epson.com, select your Epson 310, and download the, which is really ridiculous, the enormous, you know, 400 megabyte files most vendors do for setup.
Oh, yeah. And all the other bells and whistles they've added on
drivers,
to it.
That's not driver. You're downloading software and programs and stuff like that, auto discovery for the network.
Yeah, exactly.
The drivers should really only be a couple megabyte.
Yeah, exactly.
Really.
But you're
downloading an entire suite of software.
That's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly it. Okay, Janice.
Epson or HP.
Hey, Ed, there's one thing that you might try before that, and I'm interested in your opinion, and that is, what if she just turned off the printer and rebooted her computer?
Have you tried that?
And then rebooted them back up. And once you do that, you may find the printer driver again.
Okay. I have not tried that, but I will do that first. That sounds easier.
You know, that brings up a good point. For some reason, I didn't even think about shutting down the computer and both devices, because so many of us now just let our computers go to sleep or standby,
and we
rarely reboot them.
Yep,
so that's
all week long. I have mine in just a
great observation, Gary.
Goes to sleep. Excellent. Okay, Janice, try the simplest solution first. Okay? Thank you so much, Ed. All right, let's go to Jim. Go ahead, Gary.
I was just going to mention that here, I can get onto the Wi-Fi, so that network in the marina. But to get really good throughput, I've got a little hotspot. I don't want to use it all the time because it uses AT&T data, but I'll use it when I need to. So I found that sometimes my printer is on one network because I had used it on that network last. And you know, my computer, I moved over to the other network because I needed a little better output or whatever. And it says, you can't find my printer. So sometimes if people are moving back and forth between networks, they could have a problem. So from, say, from home to work, sometimes that could be a problem. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just a thought.
Yeah, it's a very good one to look into. All right, let's go to Jim from Westland. Jim, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you? Tom, we may need to put line 4 up so we hear Jim. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I've been reading a lot from the email from Best Buy about disconnecting from your internet. My internet is part of the big part why I use my computer. That's why I have it, not just my TV connection.
Sure.
And my problem is I've read about several antennas that claim for $30, you can plug it to the back of your TV, plug it in the wall, and you'll get 100 stations.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt if you're going to get stations like HBO and Showtime, where I watch my boxing and my movies. And is it really going to be worth it? Because I wouldn't want to just try Hulu, and they don't do enough of my shows. And I had Hulu, and I had this one and that. It's going to be, again, like my cable bill. Where are we going, and why?
Oh, boy, you have asked the used to say $64,000 question. That's chump change now. Ed, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I had my old aerial antenna up that I put up there in 1997. Got it at Radio Shack with a 10-foot extension. It probably extends 50 foot in the air because of the house. And I hadn't used it in 10 years. Matter of fact, the motor seized up on it because, you know, remember we used to have the aerial motors and twisting the antenna?
Antenna rotor.
Yeah. So I actually rehooked that up to a TV in the basement that isn't hooked up to cable. And I get 99, 100 stations. A lot of them are a lot of duplicates, I would think. But, you know, me, I'm halfway between Flint and Detroit up in Ortonville. Mm-hmm. And I do get 100 stations. Mm-hmm. And because I have a digital LCD TV down there, I just basically take the antenna and plug it into the antenna input.
Right.
I didn't have to get a box. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to get I didn't get a special antenna, you know. I have to knock the birds off occasionally because they bent a few wires up there. But you're right. How am I going to get my Hulu? How am I going to get my HBO Plus? Yep, I mean, you got to pay $4 for one, $6 for the other, $9.95 for the other.
You really have put your finger on something, Jim, that I'm running into and trying to find ways.
You're trying to cut the cord, yeah?
Yeah, you're trying to cut the cord. And
yeah, but if you cut it, then you can't use your internet for your Skype and for your searches on your computer.
No.
How are you going to do your searching?
Oh, okay, wait. let me explain. But from what I understand, cord cutting, and Gary and Ed chime in.
You still pay for an internet service.
Yeah, you want to have internet service. You want to have a connection to the internet, and that will run you anywhere between $40 and $60. It depends.
$40 and $80
depending.
Yeah, I paid $79 for me to get internet only.
The more they want you. When you're cut off the TV connection, they want $80 a month from a provider.
Okay.
Yep, that's what I get. You must have Charter as well.
So no, I have WOW.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll get you that way, okay? And but then after that, you're right. You have to be careful if you build a package on. Like, what does Hulu run a month? I thought
it was only $4.99, but I mean, that may have been an introductory.
Yeah. But what you got to do then, and I'm learning to do this too, is you got to carefully see, okay, this channel has this that I like to watch or that I like to watch, or CBS All Access is a great one if you like certain programs that are on TV. Or it could be if you've got boxing or some sport that you really like, then there's a channel for that. You got to choose carefully, or you're right. By the time you empty, you walk up to the checkout with your cart full of connections.
Services, you got a big bill once again.
You got a big bill once again.
Programs when they're on those other services.
This is still evolving, Jim. It's still evolving, and I think we're going to try to do something, a show around this sometime in the near future. Thanks for asking the question, though. Thanks so much for joining us here. Let's head back out to Frank from Livonia. Thank you for your patience, Frank. How may we help you here on this sunny afternoon?
Hey, gentlemen. So I've got what appears to me to be internet connection getting interrupted randomly. Not often, but what's happening is if I watch any videos on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, they either freeze for a moment or stop altogether. My email Outlook application will occasionally prompt me for my ID and password. I'll just cancel it and move on, and then it works fine. Mm-hmm. And my Amazon Fire will buffer for a real long time when I'm trying to watch some TV videos. I've got an internet, my ISP provider, cable modem, and Netgear router connected to the internet. The ISP tested the modem and rebooted it, found no problems with it. They sent me to a website called speedtest.net to check the speeds. She had the opinion that it gave me low download and upload rates.
Okay.
Found no problems with the modem. I think I...
Okay. So the equipment isn't the problem.
So have you tried hardwiring from your laptop or desktop directly to the back of the cable modem as opposed to connecting wirelessly to see what the connection rates are?
Yep. I'm almost always hardwired.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But you're still getting those problems.
I am. So I'm wondering, which device could be the problem if either. How do I determine if it's the cable modem or the router, the Netgear N900 router?
Okay, so how are you plugging into the back of your Netgear router and testing the hardwire, or did you plug directly into the back of your cable modem and then reboot your cable modem and have your desktop or laptop connect directly to it?
No, I'm still connected
to your router.
The Netgear router.
Okay. How old is the Netgear?
Probably 4 years old.
Yeah, that's about the lifespan of them.
Oh, really? I wonder.
I've had a Linksys, and I'm like, oh, this is the greatest thing. And even now my Linksys... The newer one that I had to get a TP-Link from Micro Center. Mm-hmm. That's a year old, and I stopped having problems, disconnects. It would forget about devices, and I'd have to reboot it the only device in the house that worked was the TV, and all the laptops stopped working.
Yikes.
And so I had to basically get a new router.
Because
it was 4 years old. No, I actually got the last gen. I mean, I got the 802.11ac.
Oh, AC, okay.
And it was 6 months old, and I got it for $49.
Oh, wow, you got a good deal.
I'm cheap. I mean, I could have bought the $80 one. Yeah. I could have bought the $120 one, and I could have bought the $400 one. But the $50 one worked great.
Yeah, it does. It does. Frank...
That may not be it. You may be actually the internet service provider, but that's the first thing I would try is the cable modem. Gary, do you have some suggestions?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, obviously by upgrading the modem to AC, 802.11ac, mm-hmm. is going to help.
Yep.
But remember that your wireless connection will step back to the slowest device you have connected.
Yep.
So if he's got, if he's on, not on 5 gigahertz, or on 5 gigahertz, but on 2.5, mm-hmm. that's going to be a problem potentially with some interference, plus, you know, stepping back. But a lot of times with a cable modem, because everybody is streaming video today, we're overloading the endpoints. And so you'll end up with, if somebody else, if you've got four people in your neighborhood all streaming video, all four of you are not going to get good service. Right? I made the four number up. But mm-hmm. it's,
yeah.
It's
yeah. I mean, it could be 40 so, or yeah, whatever.
Whatever yeah, it is.
But,
yeah.
But I mean, if so that's a problem. But the, and then again, you know, there's been effort to try to fix this problem. But because we want net neutrality, meaning all traffic on the internet is treated equally, email, which is a store and serve function, could be getting in the way of streaming media.
Yep.
And we have no way of increasing the quality of service for streaming media above any other type of batch files that could be going across sure. the internet or store and serve email or whatever. So if we continue on the path of net neutrality, and I understand there's some problems if you, you know, unintended consequences if you don't have net neutrality, but you know, at some point, if we're all going to be streaming over the internet, that's going to continue to be a problem until we can prioritize that service.
Frank, who is your ISP?
Spectrum.
Spectrum. Now that is
that's
a reseller, isn't it?
No, it's Charter.
Oh, that's Charter.
Charter is now has another service called Spectrum.
It used to be Roadrunner.
Oh, it used to be Roadrunner.
Ah, okay.
It acquired Brighthouse recently.
Ah. Yeah.
Ah. Okay.
So does your cable, I'm sorry, does your wireless router support multiple bands? Does it support
MIMO? I'm sorry.
You know, does it support the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz simultaneously?
It does.
Oh, really? So you were an early adopter of one. Okay. I mean, the only way you're going to be able to test this is eliminate your router completely and then hardwire a device directly into the cable modem and see how the streaming is. Because how frequently was this happening? Is it like every time at 9 o'clock at night, or was there a time that it was happening, or was it all day?
It was maybe two or three times a day randomly. I haven't been recording.
Yeah, because I noticed that I cannot watch. As soon as 5 p.m. comes along, good luck me trying to stream anything.
Yeah,
because that's when everyone gets home at work and they start catching up on their you know, movies. But from 1 o'clock, now that I'm on vacation, you know, for last week, I could stream. I don't get no burps whatsoever from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
And I live in Royal Oak, and what I have happen is that, the connection will
degrade,
and I get buffering with Netflix after like midnight.
Right, and weekends I can't even watch a movie.
That's about it. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even watch a movie on Charter.
It's infuriating
because I have to wait till weeknights.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
It's just ridiculous.
Frank, have we given you something to handle here and hang your head on?
Oh yeah, I think so. Can I get one quick opinion on Cujo, the smart firewall?
I do not. Cujo, no. Mm. Sounds ferocious.
Sounds like
that Stephen King. I wonder if he had to. Whoever did that had to pay Stephen King to use that name, Cujo. Wow.
I'm sorry.
So I've been monitoring this. They were at Collision.
Oh.
And I got to meet the founder and it's interesting to me. I'm not sure that it is that it would work in every application.
Okay.
But if you decide to move in that direction, I'd love to know your opinion once you use the service.
Now, did you say it was a firewall? I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to look it up, Frank.
Yeah, it's Cujo.com. It's billed as a smart firewall.
Okay.
And I see that it's gotten a lot of great reviews if you look at it on BestBuy.com.
Mm-hmm.
The views are pretty much unanimous that it's a good thing.
Is it a VPN service or is it a hardware device they mail you?
It's a hardware device.
Okay.
Yep. No subscription fee.
Okay, Frank. Well, we'll look into that further and see if we can come up with some comments as well. But you let us know if you find anything else out as well. Okay?
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving us a call.
It's so tough. And Gary brought up a good point about the slowest device in the house getting, bringing all your other devices down.
I was trying
to
remember
that. When I got a new cable modem, I set up a 5 gigahertz channel for me, and I didn't give anyone the password. And everyone else in the house is using the 2.4, but Dad and my Amazon Fire Stick at the 5 gigahertz. Hey, I install it. I could do what I want.
Right? All right. Lynn in Ohio.
I use it for business.
Yeah. Thank you,
Gary. That's my excuse. That's my excuse for having better service in my house.
All right. Let's go to Lynn in Ohio. Lynn, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, I have a couple of brief questions. One is on brute force attack. Let's say you're allowed 10 attempts for a password, and let's say, can a brute force attack find so many thousands of millions of passwords per second that could overwhelm the computer and somehow slip by it?
Gary, do you have a better idea about brute force? Because, it seems like you have these password limitations of 10 tries and your account's locked either indefinitely or for a half an hour period of time. But when they do brute force, a lot of times what they do is they have a vulnerability on the website. They copy the data down, and then they can basically try to decrypt the usernames and passwords because they copied all the information down. And then they use brute force against the encryption, if you will, until they get a match. That's my understanding of what brute force is. But it's a matter of copying down the user data because of a vulnerability on the website.
Lynn, what is the basis for your concern? I think Gary probably has more insight on this. But has something been happening that you're concerned about?
No, mainly I pay some accounts online, and I was just wondering if somehow or another they got a hold of my username. And, with my one account, I think you allow 6 attempts before you're locked. And then, the thing is, can a brute force attempt for so many thousands of possible combinations in that the password could not handle, that they could be overwhelmed, and somehow the correct password randomly selected could slip in and activate the account?
Gary, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so obviously, if you follow good password hygiene, that's going to help an awful lot. All right, so it's got to be more than 8 characters, upper and lower case, special characters, a number, no name, no word in any language. So that'll help. But then, change it every 90 days.
All right. You know what we're going to do when we come back? We're going to run through that a little more carefully for you so you can make some notes on that, Lynn, in just a moment. I'd like to thank Tom Baker, who's our engineer here, for handling this last hour and getting your calls on the air. And speaking of those, Leonard in Ann Arbor will be with you in just a minute. Let me also remind you that we've got time for a few more calls at 800-859-0957. Leonard, how may we help you this afternoon here on the Internet Advisor?
Well, thank you. I have a question for you. I recently purchased a refurbished HP computer.
Okay.
It is an HP 500. It's a mini tower dual core. It's like a business machine. It's for my church, okay?
Okay.
And I've been trying to install an HP printer today. It's an older printer. And the software with the printer is basically stopped at Windows HP. Okay, it's one of those PSC printer, scanner, and copier machines.
Okay.
Right. And now, how are you attempting to install it? With the CDs that came with the...
Yes, I did. And the new machine... is equipped with Windows 7 Professional.
Okay.
So it tried to do its best to work around installing the printer. As a matter of fact, it installed everything except the driver. It doesn't have the driver. Its drivers are not compatible with the Series 1300 printer.
Now, Leonard, just let me back up a second. We're talking about two separate devices here. One is a computer, A desktop tower?
Well, yeah, he has a desktop tower.
Right. And then the other is a printer. Okay, right. Just to clarify
The simplest solution is, have you gone to HP's website, which is support...
HP.com.
Yeah, no, support.hp.com.
Well, the desktop is not connected to the internet, okay?
Okay.
Now, I can do that with my tablet, but my concern is everything was installed. It will not print. But, for instance, the scanning feature, I was able to scan something through the printer and save it to the hard drive so I can go in and take a look at it. And I'm wondering if I can get on my tablet, mm-hmm, and go to the HP site and download a driver that will be compatible with this with the Windows 7 Professional.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just, how would you get it from the tablet to the
to your tower?
To your tower. I mean, unless you had a USB stick.
I would use a USB cord the same way I would connect my camera.
You should be able to.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you should certainly be able to do
and
that.
And then download that driver onto the Windows 7 Pro desktop. And maybe I could complete the installation that way.
You know, Leonard, we're going to have to hand out a Tech of the Day award to you. You've done your own troubleshooting, and I think you've got a very good idea, which is, and as you said, use your tablet to go to the support, what was it again,
support.hp.com.
Right.
And then type in your, what is it, the PSC 1300 All-in-One Series and for Windows.
And then it'll ask you what you want to download. And you could find, was it drivers on the red?
Yeah, but you know what? It looks like that, I'm just trying to see if they provide Windows 7 drivers, because this came out with Windows ME was the newest operating system.
Oh my.
So that's how old that particular printer may be.
Leonard, you may be as clever as your troubleshooting has been, and my hat's off to you on that.
Well, thank you. My concern is if the printer's too old to...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To really be serviceable or be compatible with this, I'll just move on to something.
I think it sounds like that. And printers nowadays are now. You said this is more like a business printer.
It's a business. It's a business desktop.
Oh, a business desktop. I see what you're saying. Well, the printers, and you're doing this for a church, so I'm going to guess maybe bulletins.
All I'm interested in is printing labels.
Then you can buy, guys, give me a hand, but I mean, like, for $75 to $100, you can get a printer that's perfectly capable of doing something like that, and a new
He'd miss out on the challenge of getting this to work.
Well, I'm cheap, and I like reuse.
There you go. Hey, you are a soul brother.
See?
Right, Ed?
Yes, he is. And Microsoft does provide updated software if it's the 1300 series PSC all-in-one unit. So they do provide Windows 7, and you should be able to download it. It looks like it's, 362 megabyte, but they do provide the software. So,
that's wonderful. This machine is powerful, and perhaps you can just clue me in on something else.
Mm-hmm.
This machine that I ordered, it's a dual-core processor.
Yes.
3 gigahertz with 4 gigabytes of memory. So it's adequate to do what I need.
Yes, but it's not. Yes,
yeah,
not Samson.
Tell me what this dual core business is.
Well, that was a phase where basically Intel and AMD, that's probably an Intel processor, were unable to shrink the circuitry on the chips anymore. So what they did is they just made the chips bigger and put multiple CPUs or computers on the same chip.
Right.
And the generation you're talking about, dual core, that's probably at least 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah, at least.
And you'll find out if you go to the manufacturer's site, because now they have quad cores.
16 cores.
And 16 cores on a lot of these chips. I think Intel's current one is what, the i7 and i5.
Yeah.
And they're quad cores and
multi-cores.
But if you're just running this, and it should be more than fast enough for what you want to do.
Well, then, what the does the dual core aspect allow me to do? Can I run two different operations?
If it's a 16-bit, well, it really depends on who writes the software.
Yeah.
As Gary would say, you know, Windows 7 and Windows 8 and 10 had the ability to run yes, you could let one core run one program and another core run another program,
right,
and they should be able to run simultaneously. But you know what? It really depends who writes the code, who writes the software.
Leonard, the music is telling us we're running out of time here.
Well, hey,
but my hat's off to you, buddy.
Very helpful, and I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and I think Ed has indeed found a soul brother out there in Ann Arbor. Good luck to you, Leonard. Gary, Captain Bly, have yourself a great evening cruise down at Fort Lauderdale aboard the Shared Adventure. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week again.
Sounds great.
All right,
take care.
Bye now.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, that's Mr. Gary Baker down there. And Ed, thank you very much for being here with us as well.
I'm glad I interrupted my vacation to come here.
Tom Baker, thanks for engineering us. For the rest of you out there, thank you for joining us. Hey, just quickly, if you listened to our first hour, or if you didn't get a chance to listen to our first hour, Sunday night, I will post that. It's an excellent program about teen years, this combination of teens helping seniors. And if you'd like to pitch in, contact us here at Internet Advisor.